Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Good morning, beautiful people of Calvary. Good to see you today. It is a privilege to have those of you that may be visiting with us today at home feeling a part of our family today. There's always room at our table, so welcome, welcome, welcome. Those of you joining us online, we welcome you as well. Today is a great day. We're kicking off a new series. It's also the kickoff of our growth track this semester, and our small groups have rebooted again. So if you're not connected to the church, if you're not involved in any way, these are great opportunities for you to connect with a smaller group of people that meet throughout the week, that can pray with you, stand with you. And the growth track is designed for you to connect to our church, find out what we believe, where we're going, and how you can become involved in that. Today, our new series is called The Good Work, and each of us has been called to do a good work. And so it's important to understand the challenges that we face when doing that good work. But each of us has a purpose. God has called us to accomplish something, and He's put us here with great purpose. I can't think of a better couple today to kick off this new series than Bob and Carol Cave, our guests who are with us today, our missionaries from Calvary. Amen. Give them a big hand. Put your hands together. They are our full-time missionaries that went out from this church back in 1986. Time has flown, my friend. And not only are they committed to the good work that God has for them, but they are good friends of both Susan and I and our church. So Bob now and has been the regional director for Eurasia and the Middle East for our denomination. So please, one more time, put your hands together. Welcome Bob and Carol Cave. Take it away.
I get to go first. Amen. Ladies first. Well, it's always a pleasure to be here. October 1st, 1986, Bob and I and our son Darren and our three suitcases, six boxes, and a dog arrived in Haiti. It was the beginning, I call it, of the rest of my life. It wasn't easy. It was difficult. It was... there were so many occasions in the first year or so that Bob and I'd go to our room at night and just cry out to the Lord, Lord, what are we doing? We can't do this. This is too difficult. But there was something that kept us there. And it took us a while to learn what that something was. And what we have learned then and are continuing to learn is that when we step out in obedience to whatever the Lord asks us to put our hands to, that's when the Lord steps in and He becomes your strength. He gives you the peace. He gives you the joy. He gives you that fulfillment that you've never experienced in any other thing you've done in your life. And so now here we are standing here 33 years later, and we don't ever want to walk out of or ever lose that peace, that joy, that fulfillment that He gives. And I've come to the place to realize that it's like this little song we used to sing, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And that would be my prayer for all of us here today, is whatever the Lord is asking of you or is nudging you, or whatever it may be, that once you take the first step, then that's when He kicks in. But you always have to take the first step of faith, and the Lord will be there always to pick you up and to carry you through.
Amen. Thank you, Carol. Okay. Amen. We were married 57 years 2 weeks ago. In this church, by Pastor Steve. No, sorry, somebody else. You weren't even born yet, I'm sorry. Thank the Lord. I just love coming back and seeing my congregation, my friends, my church
my fellow believers in Christ. And it's such an honor and it's such a privilege that God's given us year after year to be able to come back and share what God is doing. And I pray if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, and you're sitting here today or you're hearing online, the only way to make it work is finding Christ as your personal Savior. And all the other stuff falls into line, and types of things that He does in your life will all come to pass. I want to share a message with you of things, but also put together a few thoughts of what God's doing and what's happening in the Middle East. I want to thank Pastor Stephen for spearheading a missions-sending church. There's, and I'm going to talk to you about a legacy. There's also, we just heard that this is the number two mission-giving church in our whole denomination, U.S.-wide and Canada-wide. So that's fairly awesome, and I say thank you for it. That translates into lives that are changed because of this church's giving. It's not just money, but it's also prayers that go out. And so I want to marry the two together, people going and then the sending that's happening, because it's a winning combination, and you're part of it. And I want you to really feel that you're a part of what goes on there. It's not just Bob and Carol coming in and saying, yip-de-do, here's what we did. It's what you did and what God's doing. And I just want to read a scripture. Thank you, Pastor McDonald, wherever you're sitting. I think you're out here. There he is. There's a lot of water going under the bridge with him and I over the years. And I've shed some tears in the last little while, but man, to God be the glory. He's sitting there with his wife and his family. Let me share a scripture in 1 Corinthians 3. And just in chapter 3, there's verse 5, Paul's talking. He says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers or servants, really it says, through whom you believe, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And I want to keep coming back to that. God gave the increase. God gave the increase. This church is not where it is today because there's a bunch of heroes, but God gave the increase. There are heroes, yes, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God will give God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive their reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, and you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise builder, I have laid a foundation and another builds on it. Let each one take heed who builds on it. And I lay a foundation that can be laid, which is Jesus Christ. And I just thank the Lord that what I'd like to share with you is this church has a legacy. A legacy as a mission-sending church. And the combination of the two is so powerful around the world. And I get to witness that. I get to see that. And Pastor Steve and I have seen several fields together now in the last little while. And they see that powerful witness of the joining together of those that are sent and those that sent them. And what it means and what it's sent. A long time ago, as we were in Haiti, there was 11 little churches there. And it grew to 50 churches. But I met a man there, his name was Amano Abraham. And Amano Abraham was our driver, and he then finished Bible school, and he got a lot of other stuff, and courses, and then he pastored a church, and then he became our national leader. Amano phoned me last week, and he's fighting cancer. I've been phoning him back and forth. You can do free phone calls now all over the world, so it's really great. And so we talk a lot lately. I probably talk to him every week or so. And the first thing he asked me, Pastor McDonald, was, how is Pastor Gordon McDonald? I've been praying for him. I thought, wow, across the world on the other side of the place is somebody that's praying for my former pastor. And so the things that you're connected with Haiti in, even now, even though I'm not there and Carol's not there, is still part of the legacy of this church, of buildings, of people, of Bible schools, of evangelism, of outreach into that country. So it's a powerful connection. But God gave the increase. It wasn't Amano Abraham. It wasn't Bob Cave going there at Carol. That was all a teaching thing for us is really what happened. And so during the time that we were there, us being sent and you sending, we saw the growth of this whole work and what God is doing. But we all had one goal, one same goal. The next assignment was a short assignment that I had for 3 years after Haiti, and it was in the Latin America area. Latin America is on fire for Christ, thank you, Lord, because there's probably 20% of most all those countries are evangelical, so they're rolling. Canada is way down at the bottom, evangelical Christians in the country, but they were rolling. One of the things I witnessed was Cuba. I saw Cuba on fire for Christ. I saw them after the fall of communism and saw the changes that had happened. And what we did is we went in and out of there to encourage the saints and to see the people coming to Christ. When people didn't know anything about Jesus under communism, they're asking now, do you know anything about Jesus? Can you tell us about Jesus? Do people in Surrey do that? Do the people on the street come up to you and say, can you tell us about Jesus? We're just new. We're in another religion and we just don't know anything. No, they don't. You know, something's got to happen in Canada someday that we hope it'll happen. We pray. But I want to say the foundation was built in Cuba on prayer. 35 years of waiting from the time of Fidel Castro's takeover of the country till communism fell in 1989, 1990. They're praying and they're praying and they're praying. So the foundation of revival for Canada is still prayer. I'm glad to see we've got a whole 24-hour prayer network going up to the election that we can be a part of, and we can pray for Canada to have the leadership that God is wanting to have here. But verse 6 is saying, but God gave the increase, and that's where our thoughts are. In 2001, we were asked to take the Middle East and Europe and to go there, and that was kind of a tough decision because Latin America was so on fire. Why would we want to go to a fairly dead place? And Europe is kind of post-Christian in that. So the assignment has been great because it's been a great challenge, and we've seen some of the countries awakening and come on fire. If you look at the next, those are the countries we're kind of active right now, but look at the next slide. One of the countries that you've participated in and been a part of is Turkey. This is Ismail and Angela and their family, their boys. I wish you could meet them personally. I wish you could sit around a fire or sit around a restaurant and just talk to them. They're on fire Christians in an all-Muslim country. How would you survive? How would you do it? What would your verbiage be to those that are around you? They're bold. They're strong. They speak the gospel. He's on television probably every day for 2 hours on satellite TV. He's on internet. He boldly proclaims it. Last week, he went to the Erdogan government agency and said, you have always supported the Muslim mosques and churches, and it says in our constitution that we have freedom of religion. We are petitioning you to give us a property or a building for a church. What'll come of it? It's, who knows? But it's a strong stand walking into an all 100% Muslim office, country, bureaucrats, everybody, that has nothing to do with anything to do with Christianity. Next slide. You participated in a project down in Laodicea. Pastor Gordon and Pastor Steve were both down there, and you are connected with those people that are there that are coming to Christ. Every week, people are coming to Christ in Laodicea. Laodicea, ancient Laodicea, is right next to modern Denizli or Laodicea. And there's about 500,000 people there. This is the first time they've had a Christian church in this city for 100 years. The last one died 100 years ago. This is where the apostles went. This is your New Testament. This is when you read most half of the New Testament is talking about Asia Minor, Turkey, this country that you've participated in and you've been a part of. The legacy of a mission-sending church is powerful. You're linked when you pray, when you give a little, when you support what's going on. That ties you in because God gives the increase. It's not a Bob. It's not an Ismail. It's not a Calvary necessarily. It's God. God uses all of us and increases that. In the morning worship service there is all Turkish, but in the afternoon service is 150
Iranians. So they've escaped from their country, which is next door. They've been persecuted. And under the persecution that's happened in Iran, and what we hear is the bad side of Iran. Well, the good side of Iran is it's the fastest growing church in the world. Church, not buildings, church. So the church of Iran is the fastest growing. People are coming to Christ in droves, under persecution, could be arrested, could be thrown in jail. The average church is 7 to 8, 10 people. And if they got more, they better have something going on that would legitimize, like a birthday party or an anniversary. But they, under that persecution, that the Iranian church is growing, and the and there's a harvest that is going on in Iran. What's it going to take for Canada? I never know what it would be. None of us want persecution. None of us want to live under that kind of regime. But it's been a life changer. Next slide. In the Ukraine, I would just like to share, because that's one of our harvest fields, and you've participated in that so much. So we're seeing harvest because Calvary is a sending church, and we have made the connections with everybody that's there. That is, we assist in helping them plant churches. Next slide shows just that 220 daughter churches, all the way back to Pastor McDonald, Gordon McDonald, back in his days when this all started in the 90s, and he was part of that whole thing. It's rolling. It's rolling today. And in 2019, this year, after 2 years of church planting, when I thought we could plant 10 churches, we've now planted 65 new churches. That's 65 new pastors. That's 65 new villages. That's 65 new places where we got an opportunity to share the gospel. And a new church always shares better than an old church. We're all pretty comfortable here. You probably didn't invite a lot of your sinner friends. In the new church is starting off, that's what they do. They're knocking on doors, they're passing out food hampers and things like that. One of the Calvary members was there at the end of August, Margo. And Margo raised the money to plant a church there and went over there and planted a church, spent the 4 days as she was going somewhere else, and they hosted her. Next slide. I wanted you to just report that the church that you do sponsor, and you guys were there 2 years ago, Pastor Max is doing really well. He's a door knocker. I've told you the story of him before, so I won't labor it again. But there's just a passionate man that's going about that country sharing the gospel. So next slide. Next slide. Just showing the progress of the Krishinka project that you're involved in. Next slide. And a couple more slides just to say it's ongoing, it's there, it's working, and it's making progress. Romans 5, 10 and 5, 15. Paul is saying, he says, how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel and who are being glad tidings to these things. There's new pastors in all these locations and all these places where there's a new growth. Next slide shows another country we've just been in, just started there this year, and that's Belarus. It sits right under Russia. So if you look at a world map, it's the little country under Russia, and Russia has its thumb on Belarus, and there's not a lot of freedom they have, although we're free to move around and everything like that. It's kind of a showcase country to say, if we pour a lot of money into your country, here's what it'll look like. But out of that, we're planting 5 new churches. We've got sponsors for these churches. 2 weeks ago, we were in there with planting the last of the 5. Next slide. I want to show you what happened again with prayer. Prayer is so powerful. And in this place, which is out in the woods, I went to way out in 200 miles from Minsk, the capital. In this, that's beehives in there. Those little boxes. They're not churches. And so those bees are doing their thing. But in 1947 to 1950, there was a nonstop prayer revival on this property, day and night. Never stop. We're talking Alberta cold in the wintertime. We're talking no buildings. We're talking that everybody that set foot on that property, 2 or 3 acres, came to prayer in secret because it's under communism, was slain in the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, and on fire for Christ. Out of that, next slide, out of that, a whole town, a whole village that was about 90,000 people, it became very evangelical. They just started planting churches. This church here in one of these villages planted 20 daughter churches. Then what God did in the next slide was this young man is now the pastor of that church because his great-grandfather was in that empty field revival. So now fourth generation later, there's our pastor of that church there continuing on for God. So what a heritage. And so we're connected with all that. And God is bringing some real interesting things. Next slide. I'm going to jump over to Romania for a few minutes and say some of you know Pastor Tio Bulzon. He's come out of the communism. He founded their church. And 27 years later, they've got 82 churches that they've birthed as daughter churches. But the great thing is his sons have become the pastors now. We passed the baton on to one of his elder sons in June, and he's taken over. Next slide. But next slide, that's just inside the church. But my hero I met in this village while I was on this trip is Mishka. And he's a layman, and he and his wife have taken in homeless people from the streets of his village and in several surrounding villages and nurtured them back to Christ. You can do church wherever you're at. I was at a thrift store yesterday, Jaylene, and I saw a church being done down in a thrift store. And I thought, yes, that's just like it. She's testifying to this person and praying for that person. So this is like Mishka here. He's picked up all those people off the street. So next slide shows he built these little, they look like cabins, 1950 cabins. There's four people in each room with a bed in there. He provides their food. He provides everything for them. And next slide, he's looked after them. He grows a garden. He's got some greenhouses on his property that he can help these people. Next slide. I'll pause that for a minute. One of the things I would like to mention is if you'd like to participate somewhere down the line, Pastor Steve, I'll get you some information on how you can help him. Mishka needs blankets. He needs a whole bunch of stuff there, which really make it a total of about an $8,000 project. So it's not huge, but it just, nobody's helping him. So he didn't ask me for help. And because I asked him, I said, what's need here? Well, I need pillows and I need blankets and I need this. And the television they've got for their room is like a 1940s one, you know, black and white and big, huge box thing. And I know that we can get a few flat screens so somebody can donate those to us and that. So that's just a project I'll leave with you and God will supply our needs. Israel is interesting, and I want to kind of wrap it up with Israel because so many people are coming back into the country, into the land. And then these days that we live, I call them the last days because I think there's so many signs showing we better get ready. We better get ready. We probably don't have the next 100 years or we might not even have our lifetimes that Jesus is coming back and we look for his soon return. And Israel looks for its soon return, even the non-believing Jews. Next slide. I met a lady there a couple of years ago, and she was, her name is Irene Friedman, and she was the translator for one of my friends translating in the Ukraine. So she was a good translator. She was also a Jew. She was also an atheist. Didn't believe in God, but she was Jewish. And so she's translating this message, for Pastor Steve, but my friend, and she's translating, and it's a gospel message. And she's hearing this message she's speaking in from Russian to English and thinking, well, that's me. I don't know where I'm going when I'm finished. I don't know what my life is going to do. I know I need Jesus Christ as my Savior. So she gets down off the platform, and she gets down at the altar and kneels down and gives her life to Christ before the service could continue on. So the translator got saved. And so I say, but now she's gone, made Aliyah, she's gone back to Israel, and she is now got a thriving church in Carmel, up in the Galilee area, and she's also has a big humanitarian outreach. We participate in that. Donations that come in through Calvary have gone to her already, and more donations keep coming in. But we send her money so that she can do that ministry.
That's not just money. That's you are connected with Irene Friedman's work up in Galilee. You are part of this. That's why the two of us are one. The body of Christ is moving. We're just the senders. I just connected with her, and that was fine. The Lord blessed us, and I keep in touch with her. I'll see her next month when I go back to Israel, and we'll make more connections. But I just want to say how much it means that you're part of all this. And I think what my message is that Bob and Carol are not in this together, and we're just the privileged ones that can go. We're the privileged ones that can be out there. And what a thrill it is. And if the Lord tarries and he keeps us going and we stay healthy, I say, thank you, Lord. Let us just keep going. I also say thank you for those that have supported us, those that have been part of our ministry outreach, some for a long, long time. Some of you are new and you've just started participating in that. Whether you give to us or whether you give to a project like what's going on in Romania, or whether you help with a church plant like Margot did, it's all part of that body of Christ as we work together. In your pews, you've got little envelopes. If you'd like to be part of what we do monthly, because we always, some of our supporters have passed on in 33 years. They didn't all stay alive until we made the end. So if you'd like to be part of it and join us in supporting us, you can fill that out and just mark on it Europe and Middle East on an envelope. But what a thrill it is to be part of Calvary's outreach to the world. This is a super church. Not that it's special. It's a special church. Not just because it's a good giving church, but because you're sitting there are part of what we do. I wish I could sit down with you like Margo went into that village and she sat down with that pastor, got to know what's going on, got to meet the village people. Yes, you don't speak Russian or Ukrainian, but there's somebody that does, so we've always got translators that can work with you. But God's got a plan for this church to continue on in that whole area. So Pastor Steve, thank you. Pastor Susan, thank you for what you guys are doing. As you lead, as you spearhead, you're well respected around the whole body of Christ in the Pentecostal Holiness Church in world missions, and we just feel honored and privileged to be part of it. Can I pray? Father, I just thank you that in Jesus' name, you've got a plan and you had a plan from the very beginning. Thank you, Lord, that we can be part of it. Thank you, Lord, that we can walk into it. Thank you, Lord, that you have a plan for everybody that's sitting here this morning, that they're not just non-participants. Lord, they're participants. And the things that they hear and the things that they see are part of what you're doing through them. So, Lord, I give thanks for them. I give thanks for this church, my church, this tribe, this body of Christ that meets together. And we give you all the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.